For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Reg, Bweebum, featuring XV.
Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, and I'm your host and friend,
hello,
Brian Kilby. And there is Amy, a.k.a. Lady Reg.
Yes. Welcome. And we're live!
Yes, welcome. Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show, one of the world's first podcasts, and something that's pretty freaking awesome. I'm Brian Kilby, your host. With me, J.D. Church, Peter Van, Rob Clay, and Lady Wreck, a.k.a. Amy Morgan. So, hey, let me get your video up here, Amy. I set everything up before the show started. Nah, it broke everything. It looks like Fanboy Aww. Versus.
That's whatever.
Snap.
Looks amazing.
Oh, snap.
I'll fix this somehow.
You cannot. No.
Man, Fanboy Versus is pretty awesome.
We have the best looking show on the network.
You do, actually.
I didn't say it was the best show or had the best content or any of those things. Just looks good.
It looks great. So, yes, this is Radio Free Cybertron. Today is not December 14th, so the little screen there thing deceives you. It is actually, what is it? It's December 15th.
The day after yesterday.
Sitting here fooling with this, trying
that
to get this to work.
That would be Saturday.
Yes, it would be Saturday, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be convenient?
This is the most exciting podcast so far. We are rocking.
We are not.
I don't know what to do. We record on Thursdays.
It's kind of throwing things off. Darn, video is not working. It hates me. Okay. Darn you, Windows 7.
No. Windows 7 is
throwing
awesome.
Yeah, I love Windows 7.
I am so trying to get that on my work computer.
I just got it.
Nice.
I'll fix it later. Hey, so this week we have lots of stuff going on. Actually, the main topic this week started on Amy's podcast, The Underbase. So,
I'm sorry.
Oh no! This is awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
I like that.
It started a worldwide flame war.
Possibly. I mean,
yeah, it did.
Leading pool and everything.
Yes. So let's go ahead and jump into the news. And while I say that, I'll actually pull up the show notes, which I've been fooling with this. We don't do this on Thursdays normally. Okay, so, hey, did anyone actually see the G.I. Joe 2 trailer? That's kind of off topic, but I want to discuss that. What did you guys think?
I thought it was definitely a G.I. Joe trailer that had Bruce Willis in it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I mean, it's not my thing, so I'll just kind of, you know. It looks cool. I'm not, you know, saying that, but yeah.
The thing about it for me is that I really liked Rise of Cobra, and there's just a kind of a hint there that they're just going to pitch the whole thing.
I hope they do.
No, they are pitching the whole thing. It's pretty much the only thing that's the same is Duke and...
I think they're going to actually make it G.I. Joe is what it looks like.
I don't know. I saw that, like, I saw the first G.I. Joe movie, and I was like, wow, okay, all right. And then when they killed off Storm Shadow, and I was like, I'm going to see. I don't even know it.
They killed off Storm Shadow? I don't even remember. I watched it once.
They like, stabbed him, and he froze. And it's like, oh, he's going to cryogenically be frozen, so he'll be fine.
I know they killed off Storm Shadow in the Resolute, which I hated, but that's a little better. So I know they killed him off in Resolute, which I'm not a fan of. I'll just fully admit that I am not a fan of G.I. Joe Resolute. I mentioned that frequently before. What, GD?
Didn't they kill everybody in Resolute?
God, they killed Bazooka in what was the worst scene in the whole thing. But, that being said, I really like this trailer. It actually looks like a G.I. Joe trailer. It actually looks like something that happened in G.I. Joe. It's like it's based on a real American Hero, the cartoon series, in a way. We'll throw in some Transformers Michael Bay action sound effects, and you've got G.I. Joe. This is really promising. I really like this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to sound disparaging when I say it looks like a G.I. Joe movie with Bruce Willis, because, I mean, in a way, that's a compliment to it, to say that
I don't know
it
who he's
looks
supposed
like
to
G.I.
be.
Joe. Huh?
I don't know who he is supposed to be.
Something Colton, I think?
Yeah, Joe Colton is the name they gave to the original G.I. Joe, the 1964 model, back for the 30th anniversary.
Ah.
Ah, so he is the original G.I. Joe.
Yes.
Gotcha.
One of the only issues I actually own of the Marvel G.I. Joe run is the issue that Colton was in.
That was like issue 130, I think, or maybe 128. Somewhere around there, yeah.
Nerd.
What?
You pull out the issue number, like...
I'm one or two off.
I'm just saying.
Man, I love the G.I. Joe comic.
He's just saying.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying.
Man, I love the G.I. Joe comic. That was, like, during the run where Andrew Waldman was doing the art. That was phenomenal. His G.I. Joe was better than his Transformers.
Well, they were people.
That's true. But yeah, I'm very stoked about G.I. Joe, too. I hope they do scrap
I'm actually more likely to see this in the theater, I think, than the first one.
Apparently, I walked out of the first movie.
Apparently? You forget?
I don't remember. I remember laughing all the way through it, and people throwing, like, mean looks at me during it.
Ooh. You were trolling the movie.
I was being an ass. I will freely admit that.
You were probably, like, throwing tomatoes at the screen.
No, not that bad. Kim would not have let me do that, but...
I came out actually a little upset because I thought Transformers could have done better, and I thought G.I. Joe blew it out of the water.
Yeah, did that come out the same year as Revenge of the Fallen?
I think so.
It came out, like, at the end of the month. So at the very beginning of the month, you got Transformers, and a month later, you got G.I. Joe, and I thought G.I. Joe was better.
I have to agree.
Well... anything was better.
Yeah, Revenge of the Fallen. So I can't really argue.
For Revenge of the Fallen. They all run together. They're one terrible, crappy movie when you put them together.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, with that being said, did anyone, I guess everyone here, had to see the Fall of Cybertron trailer?
Yep.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
That looked like a trailer for a Transformers game.
I thought that looked awesome. What are you talking about?
It was great.
I've said this before, and I hold to it, so you can't say that I'm, like, going back or anything. I do not generally get excited about video game trailers that aren't playable content trailers.
Oh, I don't give a crap. So, I don't give a crap about... It doesn't say a thing about the game. The trailer just looked great.
Well, okay, but that's what the trailer is for. And if the point of the trailer... You know, I take it for what it is. It's supposed to get me excited about the game. But it told me nothing about the game.
Oh, yeah.
I take
that for granted. I don't even think about the game. I just think about, man, that looked awesome. I want really great CGI cutscenes in this game. It's going to be fantastic.
I nearly started a riot on Sunday because we were talking about it on Fanboy Versus, and I mentioned that the music reminded me of Firefly. Before I knew it, my Twitter had exploded with, like, 15 retweets of people talking about guest voice actors on Transformers Prime. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa!
Oh.
Just, like, the music sounds like Firefly, which has sort of become a cliche thing to have, like, this sort of, like, almost acoustic sound, you know, on a game trailer or something, but...
You mean, like, the music?
Really? I actually felt like the trailer was more, like... Linkin Park kind of stuff. I didn't really find any correlation with Firefly.
Hmm. Okay. It was
just
like
another person said the same thing. I could tell right away that it wasn't Linkin Park, but
Was it Linkin Park?
Like, they were trying to go for no. It was called like the Pussifiers.
Yeah.
Did you say the Pussifiers? What?
No, the Pussifiers.
Oh, same difference.
Oh. Yeah.
But it felt like they were trying to set that like wah mood.
Yeah, there is, like JD said, there's definitely kind of this pattern of gloomy acoustic music in war game trailers.
I mean, like, was it Call of Duty? Not Call of Duty. It was the best use of that. It was either Halo, or it was
Gears of War.
Epic game, Gears of War 2, that had White Rabbit, just to great effect.
There was another one too where they used the Tears for Fears.
Oh,
Gary Jules cover.
Yes.
Holy crap, this is...
Yeah, man. And I'm just like, you know, and holding Bumblebee's body, I don't know. It was just not, like I said, I don't get excited about game trailers until they're playable.
I don't get excited about game trailers or screenshots or anything. I've always been pissed off about this preview for a Major League Baseball game for the PS1 that looked like virtual reality. It was just really bad renders that someone had threw up and said that it was what the game was going to look like, and I got my hopes up. And
vaporware.
It was vaporware. But even, I mean, it looks like it was rendered on, like, a Silicon Graphics workstation or something, you know, back then. Of course, now I could do that on my netbook. Or on my Kindle Fire. Actually, not really. I can't do crap on this.
Well, you can crap on it. That's true. I wouldn't recommend it.
But it's only 7 inches, so there's not a lot of room for crap.
So you've got to be very precise.
Yes. Thankfully, I am a targeted crapper. I am a target crapper, so.
Never again do we do this show on Thursday.
No, never again. Never again. So, who saw the Rescue Bots trailer?
Oh, I did miss that.
I missed it, too.
I found it. I thought it was pretty good. I want to get it so that my son can watch it, because I think he'll like it.
Sweet.
I want it so that I can watch it.
It will debut this Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. We definitely need to talk about that next week.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So that is TBD. So we got a confirmation on the Japanese collection, which will be released in the U.S. on January 10th.
Fine.
This is awesome.
Really?
I think so.
It doesn't have the dubs.
How many months ago were we saying that we weren't even going to get this here at all?
Without the dubs, I don't care. What ticks me off?
It kept delaying it.
Reading the reviews of, like, the headmaster said on Amazon, people are like, thank God it doesn't include those awful dubs. I'm like, screw you, man. Screw you.
I don't know. I can go either way. I don't have a version with the dubs, and I'm not real... I mean, I don't hate them. I'm not saying
I love them.
It's not real partial to them when I'm watching it, but that's because I watch a lot
of... I need to get something from Cybertron!
Love it.
I think it's more distracting to me, but that's fine.
I don't have a clue what's going on in the show, and in fact, I'm probably sure that the dubs don't tell you what's actually happening.
No, I don't think they... I mean, actually, you know, having seen it sub now, I think that...
They're accurate-ish.
Far off, yeah. I mean, the names are so different that it does... It's kind of distracting, but...
Love it.
As far as the content goes, I think they're pretty on.
Love it. But yeah, so, man, I want them. It's just a shame. I wish those Metrodome sets had come out but alas, no.
No, and those are so old by now, they would redo
them. But McFeely's on them.
I know, and that's what's really awesome, but, yeah.
So I want to say awesome, and I have said it, but at work we're playing this thing, game called Buzzword Bingo, and if someone hears you saying your buzzword, they take, like, a token from you, and you have 5. So if I say awesome at work, I get my token taken away.
That's not a buzzword.
What do you win if you have the most at the end of it?
The tokens are each worth 20 cents, so however many tokens you have, you get 20 cents per, which is enough probably to buy lunch or a coffee at our expensive coffee shop on campus or something. So
wow.
The tokens are 20 cents?
Yes.
Each?
There's a buy-in of 20 cents per token.
So you just need to come up with a new buzzword.
Well, no, it's too late.
Or a word that is not your
I'm programmed words. To say awesome. You don't pick your own buzzword. The people pick it for you, so.
So you said that word one too many times then,
yeah,
right?
I mean, if it was, I would say blather and blatherskite or something, but it doesn't work like that. Aww. So.
Yeah.
Rob's look was just great.
I gotta steal that for work. There's gotta be some way to steal that for some kind of contest or something at work. That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so I want to say awesome, but I can't. So let's see here. What did you guys think about... I'm kind of getting tired of these third party toys, but the more they do, the better they get.
I know, that's what I hate.
I actually pre-ordered the, was it the Make Toys? Here's Ender. The Make Toys Sea Spray and Power Glide. I kind of want the iGear Cosmos now. It looks really nice.
Yeah, that's the most movement you've ever gotten out of Cosmos's arms.
Want. That's just all I can say is want.
Yeah, that does look pretty good.
What about you, Ender? No, we can't hear Ender. We should just not tell him.
Your speech is irrelevant because we cannot hear you.
We should have just waited like 40 minutes into the show to tell him.
It would have been much quieter anyway.
Why am I floating in space like this?
Man, we should just quit life.
And ninja consultant from Cybertron.
And the ninja consultant from Cybertron
starts to figure out how to get his sound to work.
This is we should just quit life on Thursdays. Radio.
Yeah, this is not meant for Thursdays.
This is awesome, actually.
So, also we
can check the chat.
We got a new Alternity Gold Bug. Okay,
that's so interesting ish.
I could care. Poor Ender. The.
He's gonna start using sign language.
Yeah.
I'm actually getting lightheaded because that's so funny.
Wow. Aww.
So, so new Alternity Gold Bug. Yay, I guess. That's something for, you know, somebody out there who cares to buy.
And why does Gold Bug. See, this is the thing that pisses me off. They do this. It's Bumblebee Goldbug thing, but it always is Bumblebee's head. Why doesn't it have Goldbug's head? If it's called Goldbug, where's my Goldbug head?
His head's blue.
I don't care. That's still Bumblebee.
That's exactly the reason I have not picked up the Legends Gold Bumblebee, matter-of-factly.
Yeah, it's not Goldbug.
You mean the Legends one from Reveal the Shield?
Yeah.
Dude, it's $2 at Ollie's. Why don't you go buy 50 of them?
I still haven't found any of those.
Oh, man. I got most of them at Big Bad Toy Store, but Triplet found all of them at Ross, and half of them are at Ollie's for like $2 each.
I don't know that I haven't.
Got any Five Below's where you are?
No.
Okay, because around here, Five Below has... those legends for like $2 or $3 a piece, and then the scouts for I think $4. No wind chargers left, but they had them at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Man. Yeah.
I hate that I don't have any money right now.
I just got my Christmas bonus. I'm buying audio equipment. Thank you for reminding me, JD. So, you guys just run the show.
I got my Christmas bonus. I had to eat it.
Okay, let's go ahead and, while we wait for Ender, let's go ahead and jump to Crave Corner. So, we'll be back right after this.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
It's Crave Corner for December 14th. Which is Wednesday, 2011. I'm Brian Kilby, and with me I have Cole Sickler from Crave.com.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Yeah, we've both been really busy. Sorry.
We're busy, but it's been fun.
It has been fun. So, actually, big news. There's a new catalog.
Yeah, we launched a new catalog last Friday. Magic the Gathering is now live on Crave. So if, you know, any fans of the RFC out there collect Magic cards or play Magic, you should definitely check out the catalog.
I'm sure there are quite a few.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'm really excited about Magic. I played a lot as a kid, and I'm getting back into it now. So.
As a kid, oh, it makes me feel so old.
Right, I know. I'm still a kid. It's weird. Anyway,
that's great. So, you've got that, and let's see. So that makes what? Transformers, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, and Magic. So,
yep.
Excellent.
Yeah,
is there still a vote going on for what the next will be, or is that...
Is there still a vote going on? We know what the next one's going to be. We're keeping a little quiet for a bit, but we will be sticking with cards. I'll say that much.
Very cool.
But we're still pulling from the vote poll we did way back when in terms of what to pick, so like people should keep sending us the recommendations, and it'll influence what we put up next.
Garbage Pail Kids. They're hot again.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Yes. Garbage Pail Kids. That would make me very happy. Hey, so, cool. Anything pop up as of recent interesting toy-wise on Crave?
Interesting toys.
I've been looking. Actually, I've been looking to sell. I still have all of my stuff. People watching here can actually see behind me the shelves that were full of toys. Now, not so much. And a good chunk of that will wind up on Crave when I get around to it, when I'm not working 75 hours a week.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people putting up some more custom figures recently.
Oh, that's awesome.
Currently on the top fan picks, there's a custom figure that one of our users, Xavier Fernandez, did of a Retgar. It's pretty cool. One of his fists has like a drill bit, and he's using his wheel as a shield.
Neat.
And then same user put up sort of a custom kit for Blur. He's got this really cool shield and some swords and stuff. It's a lot of fun. And then there's like another user of ours, Jason Tong, posted a custom paint job for Animated RC. So it's more cartoon realistic, which is pretty cool. And all that's in the recent activity field.
Yeah, actually, if you can tell me about something, I was curious. I saw this on one of the email news updates that I got. So are you having like sellers offer like incentives for purchasing now? I saw one person was offering wind charger if you bought $50 or more. So is that something that's new?
Yeah, we've also started running what I'm calling the Crave Seller Deals, where sellers can propose their own deal for all their listings on the site, whether it's like, you know, buy one, get one of equal value free, or a free wind charger with a certain amount of purchasing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then we're posting it to our blog as well as promoting it on all the forums we advertise on and all our newsletters. So if you check out a Crave newsletter, you'll see near the bottom a list of Crave seller deals, and each name is linked straight to their profile, so you can check out their listings. And yeah, so we're running that, and we're going to keep doing that throughout the holidays and beyond if people respond to it.
Yeah, I love that, especially the wind charger deal. The cool thing about that is wind charger is hard to find, but some people have lucked out and had retailers where he's very inexpensive. So, you know,
well, yeah, we've been seeing a lot of him recently on the site. A lot of wind chargers have been coming through recently. I feel like they must have a secret shipment must have come in at some point.
Well, like discount retailers, closeout stores, like Big Lots have wound up with some. But the cool thing is, the sellers, they're just making an incentive to purchase. So I think that's genius. It's win-win. So I love that.
Sure.
Cool. Hey, so there was a promotion going on?
Right. So we're doing our, you know, same new buyer promotion. If you haven't made your first purchase on any of the Crave sites, make it this month in December to get $5 back from us. And then we've also implemented we've added the share button to everyone's Crave profile page, so you can share your want list with your friends or family for the holidays. Let them know what you're looking for.
So you go to the Crave, you go to Crave.com.
Yeah, if you go to your profile, which you can access from any page on Crave, you just have to highlight your profile picture in the upper right corner, and then there'll be it says click for profile. And you go there, and that takes you, it shows you all your badge information, all your listings,
share.
All your wants.
There it is.
And so you can share your want list with your loved ones.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's awesome. It gives you a URL and everything.
Yeah, and you can just click share and share it with everyone you know on Facebook, or you can sort of customize your list and let specific people know what you're after.
And you can also, since I haven't posted anything for sale yet, which I need to so bad, your personal profile page, that lists what you have and what you want. Does it list what you have for sale?
It does. If you're listed, if you have stuff listed, it shows that first. Actually.
Very cool. Yeah, I need to do that. I will be plastering that everywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
People will be annoyed. Cool. Anything else going on?
That's pretty much it. We're just sort of trucking away at expanding the catalog, so we'll have more info on that probably next week or the week after.
Yeah, we definitely need to get together. I want to know more about that. If it's what I think it is, we have quite a few fans on the show and also listening. So very cool.
Excellent.
Awesome.
All right, thanks so much,
Brian. Thanks, Cole.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Don't let me, たのは新しい朝必ず訪れる。
Cybertron. We're back. Hey, so I really wanted to do that Transformers 2010 video there. I'm like, wow, Transformers 2010. No one thinks about that, but there it is.
That it was 2 years ago? Awesome. Or a year ago?
It was a year ago.
Well, it's almost two.
Almost 2 years, yeah.
Yep.
Yay, so Ender has been back and then disappeared again, so.
I
still experiencing technical difficulty.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, hey, so, JD, what's going on this week in history?
This week in history, December 15th, today, 1984, Heavy Metal War premiered in the U.S., which is a Constructicon episode. So, considering that the Devastator Encore just came out, and we're also in the middle of Hercules, not Devastator, that's pretty awesome. Get one of those two.
I love that episode.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's probably my favorite episode from the first couple of seasons. It's just the most iconic, I think. Just the premise that Megatron would like steal all of the, or borrow all of these abilities and use them against Optimus. It's pretty boss.
Well, I think it typifies some of, like, you know, Megatron's process, because, you know, he plays into Optimus's, you know, ideas of justice and chivalry, and then, you know, also screws him over and with it as well. So, yeah.
Anyway. Hey, one thing I wanted to mention, while Peter
looks
at the chat and thinks back on what's been said for the last few minutes, one thing I wanted to mention is that now that the Xbox 360 has a new interface, it also has YouTube, and I was actually watching us on YouTube on my Xbox, and it looked really good. So if you watch the show live, or if you listen to the podcast, if you miss it, why don't you actually just start going and watching our YouTube channel? It's youtube.com/users/TF Radio Network. Subscribe, and you can actually watch us on YouTube. You can also watch us on Roku through blip.tv, which I don't know how that works, but I do have a Roku box now. I just haven't had a chance to actually use it yet.
And
so,
TiVo.
TiVo, yeah, there's lots of ways you can watch us, not just the podcast, not just live. Watch us. It's fun. It's different. So it's, you know, it's viewing it is, you know, we make the show so that you can enjoy it by listening, but watching it's also part of the experience as well. So seriously, go to tfradio.net, and we have all of the ways you can watch us there. It's really worth it. So just wanted to say that. Hey, so Peter, since you've been paying attention to the chat for the whole show, what's been going on?
Ender hates Skype.
Honestly, I have to say this. I am looking for an alternative. So,
yeah.
Heads up. There may be something coming down the road.
Okay.
Other than that, I think people are talking about Pokemon. I'm not really sure.
So you're doing as well as I do in directing the chat.
Awesome. I was not provided a heads up.
I'm sorry.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Yep.
So, it's not my fault. Well, yeah. people love Crave.
I love Crave.
And Crave just launched Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
They need a Power Rangers section. That's what...
They do.
Yeah.
Probably
Power Rangers Sentai? That'd be awesome.
Power Rangers Hentai? What?
Yes, whoa. Power Rangers Hentai.
Yeah.
The tentacle.
The magnet.
So,
damn thing.
We hear you, Ender.
Hey! We made it.
Just in time for the comic discussion, so we can talk about what's going on in the...
should I bother? Good Lord.
Well, let's see how long you hang around. There you are.
Oh, it's kind of ranty. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Cool, you bailed me out. I was struggling for...
Hey, so Amy, tell us about your interview on Underbase.
Okay, well, last week we did an interview with Mike Costa, and apparently some of the things that he said incited the fandom. Because it went on for a good couple day rage afterwards.
So you're saying he said something besides, I'm sorry.
I don't think he even said that.
That's the one thing he didn't say.
That is the one thing that was not said in that interview was, I'm sorry. There was a lot of, you guys suck. There was a lot of, this thing sucks. And there was a lot of...
Got another giant Transformers establishment, you a culpa.
It wasn't that bad, but yeah. A lot of people took really big offense with it, so... I did not think it was that bad. My co-host didn't think it was that bad. So all of the negativity and rage has been a little like, oh, wow, we did not expect that. But yeah, so that's kind of the rundown of what happened. And yeah, any comments?
So JD, you seem to be the one who's most in tune with this. Why don't you tell us what exactly went down because of this?
Well, I mean, I didn't follow the fallout so much. I mean, I started to see that there was some discussion about it, and then I went back and listened to not all of the interview, but a good portion of it. At least I think the portion that people were getting ranty about.
Yeah, it was like 10 minutes. That was about it.
Yeah, so, and that was, he said a lot of things, but the couple of things that he did say was one that, in general, people that read Transformers comics don't read regular comics.
Real comics, as I would call them.
Right. I think that's probably true. Also, people that read regular comics don't read Transformers comics.
That I'm a use case where I can agree with that.
Right. I think that, yeah, exactly.
I think that at all, but...
I think that's generally true. But, so...
I think the numbers bear out on that. That's the case.
The what?
What numbers?
As far okay, so the number of Transformers comics sold.
JD?
Study has been done on this?
So compare. It's
like
math.
Anecdotal evidence.
So compare the number of Transformers comics sold.
Like, is that just something we're like taking at face value, or
math? It's wonderful. So take the number of comics sold, like the best selling 15 comics. Then compare it to the number of Transformers comics sold, and that number is dwarfed by the actual comics.
But that doesn't mean that those comics aren't all being bought by people who are in the store buying other comic books anyway.
Right. But...
There's nothing empirical about what you're saying.
Perhaps not, but I think math paired with common sense says that it is. But go ahead, JD.
No, so that was a couple of points. The other point he tried to make was that within the comic book world, Transformers comic books are not very well looked upon. They're generally looked down upon.
That's true.
I generally agree with that as well.
Unfairly, yeah. Sometimes, but yes.
Unfairly, yeah.
Well, Costa wasn't over that.
That's true.
But then, I think the point that I at least thought, you know, was at least one of the bad points. I mean, I think one thing that pissed a lot of fans off is something that I've heard for so long I don't even listen to anymore, which is that, just fan rage, you know. And it's just like, it's just those crazy eccentric Transformers fans being crazy eccentric Transformers fans. And it's like, oh, okay. I've heard that so many times I don't even listen to it anymore because it's such a nonsense thing.
I think you've heard it a lot.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing that really got me was that he had this long apologetic argument in which he tried to frame writing Transformers in a way that made it sound like it's so difficult that it's almost impossible to do, and therefore you can't really blame him if you didn't like the comics because they're just too hard to write. So anyone would have a difficult time writing them. You know, he tried to say that Transformers are so alien because they're so old, they don't eat, they don't sleep, they don't have relationships, they don't have a religion, they're just big robots, therefore there's no real way to write them.
Well, and I can see why someone who didn't understand the franchise at all would think that.
Yeah. I agree.
Thinking
Ender is correct.
Now, he did say that other writers have tried to do that. So they've tried to do things with, like, adding a Transformers religion or adding things that make them seem more human. But for some reason, he felt that was too just disingenuous. So he didn't choose to do that.
Now I did take that. I thought when he said that, you know, tried in the sense that, what, they were throwing ideas on a wall and it did it stick? Here we are in IDW and they don't have all of those ideas still there, you know what I mean? I mean, I know it's been done before.
I do think it's kind of
IDW first has it.
It depends on... Right.
Go ahead,
Simon Andrew. Furman discovered how to write Transformers as aliens perfectly. Don't. Nothing good is ever about anything truly alien. We like to read about ourselves. We don't want to read about giant robot aliens. No one would care about giant robot aliens. If you did it right, no one would be in the slightest interested. We want to read about what giant robot aliens would be like if they were us.
Right. I want to bounce something off of that. So, aliens make interesting characters when they're not the focus, but of a Transformers comic, they have to be the focus. If they're not, it sucks.
Yes. And it's a tragedy that so much of Transformers lore has decided to focus on the idea of the, like, identification character and has thrown arbitrary humans left and right and tried to make them important. They really don't need to be there.
Yeah.
You can just make them be human. And it's totally like, that is why they have faces. That is why they have five fingers.
Well, that's why they have genders.
It's so they can be us. We're not so interested in the explanation of why that makes sense. You know why? Because like giant robot dinosaurs, it doesn't make sense.
Star Trek Next Gen did
to make it an interesting story to give you more capacity to tell that story.
Right. Star Trek Next Generation did that to try to explain why all aliens are humanoids, and it sucked. There's no need.
Well, that was even worse than that. That was just to explain all aliens were humanoids with different bumps on their heads.
Yes.
Well, and again, like I said, it's nothing against Costa. I get it. I understand that he didn't get it. That doesn't mean it can't be got.
Right.
He just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And the point of I've read other stuff of Costa's and not thought Costa was a bad writer.
No.
But Costa didn't get Transformers, doesn't get Transformers, and his entire run is a debacle, frankly, because it's 30 issues of I don't get Transformers.
Right.
And it takes the time.
The point in the interview that I think I really figured that out is when he was talking about, you know, his time on the run, and he was completely confused as to why people liked space opera and didn't like all of the stuff with Spike and the humans and everything. And it's like, because we don't care about them. We like the comics where it's the Transformers being themselves and doing those kinds of things, you know, just Transformers. And it's like, he didn't understand why anyone would think that was interesting. It's like,
well, and he made his human cast completely unlikable. Like,
yeah, I know. And that's it. Well, he did that to a lot of characters. You know, there's a lot of things that he did with a lot of different characters.
Have we ever gotten human characters in Transformers that were interesting? The Nebulons were pretty interesting in the Headmasters miniseries. I like that, but most humans in the comics suck.
Well,
ever.
They can be very superfluous. They're really kind of there. They're a plot point. I mean, I think I would go so far as to say it is important to have, and it doesn't have to be humans. Like you said, the Nebulons. I mean, like, it could be Badgers. They have to be there to have the balance of good and evil thing, because a lot of it's a story about what the Decepticons and the Autobots end up representing in the end is a conflict of power. Does power give you the right to rule, or does it give you the obligation to protect? And that's what their conflict is about. So you have to have something to protect and or rule. Other than that, that's really all they're there for. And if you go too far into that, you bore the audience. If you have it completely absent, you lose a lot of your moral thrust, and you can lose a lot of what the story is about. I mean, if you think about what a lot of the best Transformers stories are about, they are the points of protection where they really have a conflict over this, and where they are proved, where the Autobots are proved correct, because that is what makes their little moral thing actually right. It's not just that it's the normalized level of, like, this is good and this is evil kind of crap. You have to prove them right. And, you know, think about stories, you know, where headmasters, you know, Spike has to go and press the switch. And before that, there was other things with the, in Five Faces of Darkness, they need a human for something. And all of a sudden, all of those missions were like, Bumblebee brought his pet along and half of them got like nearly killed protecting it. Matter. They were right. Because if they had let this kid get stepped on, they'd all be dead now. And it gives the story gravitas.
So basically, humans aren't just MacGuffins then.
Right. Well, you know,
well, they are.
Well, they shouldn't be, but.
It doesn't have to be humans. Like, if you think, even like, there's like a tiger in Tigatron's first episode in Beast Wars. And like that whole episode hinges on like whether Megatron was going to kill that tiger arbitrarily or not. It's the moral part of the story, and it is important to have elements of a story that play and work correctly. But he took those elements and just didn't use them right at all, and you know, it, because he didn't get one little bit of it. And in fact, I really think he had it ass backwards. So
that's kind of where I came from. It's like I didn't get really mad at it, and I think like I said, when I say that I get it now that he didn't get it, it's not that I'm like saying that in a derogatory or a bad way. It's just like now it makes sense. He just didn't get it. Okay, that's fair. You know, that I actually feel better about it in that sense. And I feel bad for him that he spent 2 years writing something that he didn't get. And has really gotten the ire of some of the fandom for, because, you know, it was a job, you know. And yeah. I appreciate that at least he was very candid. He was probably more candid than he should have been, considering that he still would like to work. And I know that there was even a tweet from one of the editors at
Chris
IDW.
Ryle, yeah.
As well, that seemed to be.
You've got to be careful what you say to the public.
Well, especially when you're working on a property, you know.
Yeah.
With fans.
And one thing that, you know, particularly gets me is, you know, from a lot of people I have, you know, tuned out, oh, those crazy Transformers fans. But, you know, when it comes from a writer, when it comes from, you know, you don't complain about your boss in front of your boss.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And coming from... You know, coming from someone who's actually working on the property to hear, you know, Transformers fans be crazy, yo, it just doesn't really endear them to you.
No, I don't know. I mean, he's probably not going to get a lot of BotCon appearances in the future.
No.
You know, him and Bob Skier maybe can share a beer and talk about what it's like to not get invited to BotCon.
I think Bob just declined. I mean, he's been invited.
Well, I know. I think that he got so burnt, though. And I feel bad now because I go back and watch Beast Wars and realize, oh, this was good.
Yeah, this was
dang
good.
It. I hated Bob Skier for no reason.
I didn't. I didn't hate him.
Maybe that'll happen to Mike Costa as well. But so I don't know. Like I said, I didn't go and like look at the boards and read all of the fan rage, so I don't know if there's
I read quite a bit of it.
I'm sure you did. Well, you were kind of in the thick of it, so.
Well, I was, and then at the same time, I was also, you know, you guys come on, and you know, I like the guy, and honestly, I was just flabbergasted at how much rage there was. I think this is the first time I've ever seen the rage being that directed at something. So, you know, for me, I thought, well, golly, I mean, because. After interviewing with him, you know, I didn't feel offended because I've never been one of those fans that's been like that. So I thought, oh well, he's talking about other fans that I've probably never met. And you know, that was kind of it. It was like I thought, oh, those are other fans that I've never met that, you know, that act that way. And so I was thinking, well, you know, it's not anybody that I know. So.
Well, and maybe that is the point though too, that you know when a creator does this thing where they say, oh, those crazy Transformers fans, that's sort of like dismissing the negative feedback. That's sort of like saying, well, if you didn't like my work, then it's because you're one of those crazy Transformers fans that just wants it your way, even though that's not necessarily the case.
There's a real knee-jerk reaction in a lot of people to tell people, anyone that doesn't like what they're doing is their fault, mirror it back at them. And, you know, as a vehement hater of the movies, I've encountered all manner of that. And, you know what I mean? Like, you ever hear somebody say, man, Spider-Man 3 sucked, and have somebody turn around and go like, no, that's just because you want everything to be Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Yes.
Well, anybody that's been a listener of our show on the Underbase would know that we have not always been 100% behind Mike. We have had our ups and we've had our downs, and I'd say most of it's been pretty negative to mediocre about his work. So, I mean, I guess I looked at that and I thought, well, you know, if we're fans that have been, you know, up to now kind of negative and not impressed with it, yet he's on the show, you know, talking to us about it, then, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he's taken it all and written it off. I think he just, you know, I think he does get, for the most part, that it hasn't worked out, you know.
Well, yeah. What went wrong, really? I mean, day one, this has been on a trajectory to go exactly where it went. It was not unpredictable.
Yeah.
He didn't get it. And, you know, it just like, you just like hit every beat on the mark to like, okay, you're going to screw that up and you don't, that's not working. And I think issue one came out. I wrote it as a problem of premise. You know, like how many years ago now? Like
two. It was 2 years.
2 years ago. I bet you could go back to my like review of issue one and read pretty much what has happened. And that's part of why like I haven't even like I haven't missed reading, because it was just like it was a foregone conclusion. This thing has been lost forever, and it's been lost in a very specific way. And it was just the like you can't ever get where you're going if you won't admit where you are.
And yeah, I agree.
Custer started out from the wrong point, and like he was in like Pennsylvania, and he had a map of Wisconsin, and it was just like, I don't think that's going to work.
Well, then, and it makes sense then, if you started from the get-go, you already had a massive amount of stuff piled against you to begin with. Is it a wonder that it didn't work out?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's part of the thing, too, is I really think a big failure of IDW as a company was not to, before like years went by, to stop and go. And we criticize companies, comic companies, for changing direction too often, but I think this is a real case where somebody really should have stopped and went, hang on. Okay, this guy was genius on G.I. Joe, but maybe this isn't working out.
Well, G.I. Joe are people, you know.
God knows they were all too happy to cut the strings out, you know, out from over Simon Furman with little to no notice. But then we got every painful Death March Anthrax blanketed minute with Mike Costa.
Yeah.
And they would not let it go. And a lot of that time was, you know, equally not getting it, editor Andy Schmidt, who recently left, and God help us all, went to Hasbro.
Well, things are changing. We've got a new editor now. I'm so sad
I wasn't here for the preview of Fall of Cybertron.
But go ahead, tell us what you think, Andrew.
Good fiction. It exists. You know, and the first thing I saw that, I went right, the post I think about it went something a degree of like, okay, assholes, remind me again how it's just big robots hitting each other. It's not. It might not be the easiest thing to notice in the world, but there is something to the Transformers that makes it more enduring than the GoBots and Voltron. And this guy sitting here, this is what pisses fans off, is he was sitting there saying, it's impossible to write this. It's just too alien. When the reality is that this franchise has endured past death several times.
Yeah.
Through fan love, like Star Trek-esque wise, because there's really something to it. If you get what there is to it, it's something amazing and unique. I think it's really something you don't see very often in any fiction. And it's because it's rarefied, and it's not the easiest thing to identify. But to turn around and tell the fans that they don't like it, not because you didn't get that specialized quality, but because they, the fans, who have resurrected it several times, are demanding past the point of endurance something from a product that has no potential, that's why people were pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a defender.
He has no context, no history, no love.
Well, I think that, and here's, I guess, and the other thing, just, you know, kind of wrap this up, but, you know, I think that he was a fan, but maybe he hasn't thought about it as much as a lot of other fans have. Because he did say that, you know, he watched it when he was a kid, he collected some of the characters and stuff like that. But here's the thing, is that, you know, I looked at that way. You know, I was a fan when I was a kid. Then I fell off the wagon, and I stayed off until about 2 years ago when I finally jumped on, and I got back on, and now I've been thinking about a lot of those things that, you know, he was thinking about. And I can understand how somebody who may be in that position would struggle with that, because if you haven't given a lot of thought, then yeah, and then keep on thinking, you know, maybe it just comes down to this. You have to be a fan of the franchise to actually write it well. Because if you don't, then you get overthinking.
Well, yeah. I just think you have to have a perspective.
You have to research and understand it, but you don't have to be a fan of it.
Right.
To begin with.
Well, you have to understand what people like. I think there's a difference between understanding what people like about it and liking it yourself.
Yeah.
And between this and the movies, we've just heard so many people who are, like, creating the product itself, who are sitting there saying out loud, like, that they didn't get what people liked. And it's like, that's, like, not the right person to do anything. Yeah. I mean, would you hire someone who was like, man, I don't see what people see in Superman? Would you hire that person to write Superman?
Well, they did that with Star Trek in 2009, and it actually ended up doing pretty well. At least directing it. But that's rare. Actually, I'm pretty excited. I just bought on Comixology Avengers The X Sanction number 1 by Jeff Loeb, so I'm going to be reading that here in a few minutes. So, yes. Anything else, guys? Anything else on this topic, or is that pretty much?
No, I think that's good.
Well, I can't wait. The new stuff, I think it's worth mentioning that the people they're bringing in, at least half of them, even given the horrible base they have to build on, I'm really excited to see where they go.
And I have to echo that, because, like, I really feel like they've, everything that I've heard, everything that I've seen, they get it. They get how this is supposed to be. They get what fans seem to like. And, you know, that's just, I think that if we don't give it at least a good six issue chance to win us over, then, you know, I know it's a lot to ask, because a lot of people are really burned from Costa. Hey, I was burned too. I bought it as well. But
I say, hey, man, prove how much little you like Costa and buy two of these, everybody. These are both from their writing, I've had the privilege of speaking, at least, you know, having a moderately lengthy conversation with both Nick Roche and James Roberts.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I happen to know for a fact, personally, that these two gentlemen get it. I don't have to debate that. It will not be a question when looking into this. You know, whatever the stories come out to be, if there's any problem, it will not be because they don't get the Transformers, which is, like, the bane of our existence right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. Roberts and Roche, they get it. If anybody gets it, they do. So,
yep. Cool.
Great. Cool. Awesome. Guys, anything else? Ender, you popped off. You were off for the first half of the show. Anything that you didn't get to mention that you wanted to... You wanted to say something about G.I. Joe?
Oh, that shit show, like, that was... Oh, I can't describe how happy I was to see that.
Is it not awesome? I love it.
Cheesy as hell, but I liked it.
That's what G.I. Joe is. It's like the cartoon come to life. I love it.
I walked out of that movie easily happier than either of the Transformers movies I'd seen.
Well, I hated the first movie.
This just looks like unmitigated awesome.
Yes.
And do we know I don't know if you went into this, who Bruce Willis is playing?
The original G.I. Joe, yeah.
Yeah, he is G.I. Joe. Like, good God, how cool is that?
That is great. I think you and I are in the minority there who actually really love this, so.
I think it's better than G.I. Joe. It's, like, better than it's been. And it looks like they're, you know, they leveraged Snake Eyes pretty well in the last movie. It looks like they're going to leverage him better in this one. And, you know, maybe drop some of the stupider crap. It looks so worthy. Yeah. I think it may make us all wish the first one hadn't happened. It'll be so good.
Actually, I
have to buy them in a two-pack, and the first one is a little...
If I remember in the show notes, I'll link to my YouTube review of the first G.I. Joe movie. So this is the opposite of that.
Yeah, I just couldn't be happier about this. That just looks so good.
Very cool. Okay, well, guys, I got to run. I got to make a trip here in about 5 minutes. So it was good talking with you. We'll be back at our regular time next week. For the guys, Brian Kilby signing off. Catch you guys later. Don't forget, watch us on your Xbox 360 on YouTube. And
bah humbug.
We'll have one more show before Christmas, so we'll give our Christmas greetings next time. But
bah humbug.
Bah humbug. YouTube on your Xbox 360 and your Roku. We will see you later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.